Maybe should I open the front door?
Oh, please, please. I'm sorry. I forgot to do that.
Dad, I didn't shovel the walkway.
Two people outside.
Landscaper, there's no removal. All right, well, say good morning. Let's begin. All right. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf yud. We left off on the bottom of Tes Amud Beis. So again, just to reorient ourselves, we left off in the case of the sukkah agabe sukkah, in the four different cases. The four different cases that came up. So remember, we left off pa'amim shishtein k'sheros. We left off, there are sometimes where both sukkahs are kosher, sometimes both sukkahs are pasul, sometimes top one is kosher, some bottom one pasul, sometimes bottom one kosher, top one pasul. So the Gemara says the following. So then the Gemara is going to go through each of these cases and discuss exactly how it is that they play out. So pa'amim shishtein k'sheros heichidami. So what's the case where both sukkahs are kosher? Hechidami, what's the case? Kigon, shetachtona chamosim mirubim nitzila. So the case would be the following. The bottom one allows in more light than sun, light than shade and tzchach. V'ha'alyona tzlesim mirubim nechamosa. And the upper one is more shade than light. In other words, the bottom one, tzchach, is not really kosher by itself. The upper one, tzchach, is kosher by itself. The kaima alyona besoch esrim. And the tzchach of the upper sukkah is within 20 amos of the ground. That way, again, essentially, the upper tzchach functions as the schach for both the upper sukkah as well as the lower sukkah. That's when both of them would be kosher. Pamim sheshtein b'sulos. There would be a case where both sukkahs are pasul. Hechidami, what's the case? Kigon tedarvayhu silosan mirubim echamasan. The case would be the following. When both sukkahs provide more shade than sun, v'kaima elyona lemala me'esrim amo. And ultimately, the upper sukkah is more than 20 amos tall from its floor, meaning from the schach of the bottom sukkah, which then ultimately means that you have non-kosher, which you have schach, that's lamala me'eshim ama, providing shade on the upper sukkah and the lower sukkah, which means the upper sukkah is possible, the bottom sukkah is possible. Pam mishetachtonik shir val yonah psula. There are times when the upper sukkah is kosher and the lower sukkah is possible. When is that? Heichi dami, what's the case? Top of yod. Heichi dami. So the Gemara says, "Kigon shatachtona silasa meruba mechamasa." So again, I also remember this is the case where the bottom one is kosher, upper one will be pasul. What's the case? Kigon shatachtona, the bottom sukkah silasa meruba mechamasa. Its schach provides more shade than sun. The elyona chamasa meruba mitzilasa. And the upper one provides more light than shade. So in other words, the schach is not really good. The kaimi tarvayhu besoch esrim. And ultimately, again, both are within 20 amos of the ground. That way, in that case, the upper one will be, the bottom one will be kosher. And ultimately, the lower one will be kosher. The upper one will be pasul. Upamim shal yonik shera v'tachtona pasul. And there are times when the upper sukkah will be kosher and the lower sukkah will be pasul. Heichi dami, what's the case? Kigon tetarvayhu silasan meruba mechamasan. Case where both sukkahs, the shach provides more shade than sun. The kaima elyona besoch esrim, and the upper sukkah is within 20 amos of its own floor, but obviously, again, its schach is lemala me'esrim for the bottom one. Okay, so we'll say, to which the Gemara essentially says, pshita, all of these cases are straightforward. You know, there's no chidushim in any of these cases. Essentially, what the Gemara is saying is, depending on how you create the variations, lemaisa, again, sometimes the upper one is kosher, bottom one's kosher, upper one's pasul, bottom one's pasul, both kosher, both pasul. It all depends on just how you arrange the case. But there's no novelty in these particular rulings, which the Gemara says, I'll tell you the novelty. Tachtona kshera, the elyona psula itzrichale. I'll tell you the case that's the chidush. The chidush case is the case of where the bottom one will be kosher and the upper one will be pasul. I'll say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Tachtona kshera ve'elyona psula itzrichale kidekaima elyona besof chav. So if you remember again, this was the case of the bottom sukkah that's kosher and the upper sukkah that's pasul. So remember that what that case was? That case was where again the upper sukkah has the schach allows in for more sun than shade. And it's besoch esrim, and it's within 20. Therefore, again, the upper sukkah is pasul because again it doesn't have proper schach. But the bottom sukkah is kosher because the schach of the bottom sukkah ultimately has proper schach attached to it, and the upper schach does not invalidate it. So the Gemara says that was a necessary case. Why? Itzrichale mahu detemu. What would I have thought? Nigzar dilma mitstarev schach posel bahadei schach kosher. I might have thought that that case should still be posel. Why? Because lemaisa, at the end of the day, perhaps you are including schach posel together with your schach kosher. Meaning, that I would have thought that that the schach posel contributes ultimately again to the schach kosher. Kamash mulan, that we're not worried about. Kamash mulan, say that even though there is some level of schach posel, that's the lamala me'esrim lechamasim mitzilasa, we don't care about that. Rather, we just simply focus on the fact that the bottom sukkah indeed has the requisite shear for its schach. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, see, here is what we've established.
Seems to be different than the tree case where we required you to bring down the branches.
So lemaisa, so that's a good point. Lemaisa, as I mentioned yesterday, we don't paskin that way, right? We don't paskin that you require. But that's why if you build your sukkah underneath the tree, we don't require that you put your branches in underneath the schach. If you can, that's great. But lemaisa, the way we paskin is that as long as there is the majority of shade coming from the kosher schach, we do not worry about the overhang. So too over here, lemaisa, this is clearly a case of an overhang. We don't worry about that. And that's the chiddush. So the Gemara says the following. Now remember, so just to keep this in mind, the Mishnah began with a statement that sukkah agabe sukkah is pasul. Now what the Gemara is going to do is define the minimum case of sukkah agabe sukkah, meaning what constitutes a double-decker sukkah? How much distance must there be between the bottom sukkah and the upper sukkah? You understand, as I mentioned, yes, in this case, the schach of the bottom sukkah serves as the floor for the upper sukkah. But the shaila is, how much space do you have to have between essentially the schach of the bottom sukkah and the schach of the upper sukkah for the upper sukkah to be considered its own sukkah? Now, you'll say to yourself, who cares? Who cares? So why does it matter? Because whatever that amount is, when it's less than that amount, one can make the cogent argument that what? That it's all one sukkah. That it's all one sukkah. That therefore, again, that upper part just seems to be bottled to the lower part. So now we need to know, what are the minimum dimensions of a sukkah agabi sukkah? What are the minimum dimensions of that upper sukkah to make it a separate and distinct entity? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, how much distance is there between one sukkah and the other to have the upper one, to consider the upper one be possible? Am Rav Huna, tefach. So we'll say Rav Huna literally says that as long as there is a tefach, and remember, what we're really measuring over here is not as much surface area, because surface area, we know that's Zion al Zion, right? But what we're really measuring over here is what? Is height. Is height. So Rav Huna says there has to be at least a tefach of height. Now, where does he get a tefach from? So this is a very interesting case. Shekin matzinu ba'ohel ba'ohale tuma tefach. Because Rav Huna says the minimum shear of an ohel, of literally a tent, for tuma purposes, is a tefach. Is a tefach.
Mattresses.
I'm sorry?
Is that what we saw with the mattresses when you try to raise the floor? And if you're, but the tsroros, if you're mevatel, the tsroros.
Oh, the teven, right? Correct. No. That was a case of tuma, but this case a little bit different. That was a case. You're talking about. That was for containing tuma. Correct. So actually, the truth is, it's a similar concept. Here we're talking more. What's the minimum definition of an ohel? So the Gemara said the following: Shkimatzino betuma tefach tesanya. Listen to this: tefach al tefach barum tefach. If you have an object that is one tefach long. And again, how much is a tefach? Tefach is about 3.5 inches. About 3.5 inches. So if you have an object that is one tefach long by one tefach wide, berum tefach, with one tefach of height, mevi es hatuma v'chotzeitz b'fnei hatuma. It has the ability to spread tuma, and it also has the ability to serve as an ohel to contain tuma. So let me give you an illustration. So let's say for argument's sake, this was a tefach by a tefach by a tefach. And now there's a tummy object underneath it. So let's say again, here's my tummy object. So this does two things. Number one, what it does is anything else that's underneath this roof, so to speak, together with the tummy object, becomes tummy itself. So okay, so if this is the tummy object and I have another object over here, this second object will also become tummy. What else is this tefach by tefach by one tefach height? If something is on top of it, right, it prevents the tumah from going up. Okay, so therefore, what do you see from here? So what the Rav Huna essentially is saying is, I'm sorry, about pachos mirum tefach, but if you're saying that's less than a tefach high, lo mevi velo chotitz, it does not allow the spread of tumah underneath it, nor does it obstruct the ascension of the tumah upwards. So what do you see from here, according to Rav Huna? That lemaisa a tefach is the minimum shear for a structure. So therefore, again, Rav Huna will say, therefore, if you're going to have a sukkah, gabi sukkah, the minimum height requirement for an upper sukkah to be considered its own sukkah, not bottled to the bottom one, is one tefach. On the other hand, Rav Chista of Rabba bar Rav Huna Amri, Arba'a, Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna say, no, the upper sukkah must be four tefachim tall in order for it to constitute its own separate shear. Shalomatzinu makum chashuv pachos mi'arba. Why Rabba said? Because we know the minimum dimensions for reshus, for a separate tefach, let's say this is for Shabbos purposes, is how much? Is four tefachim. So therefore, again, that upper sukkah can't be considered its own separate domain unless, of course, it satisfies the minimum dimensional requirements for a reshus, which is four tefachim. Good.
Even though it's a pasuk sukkah, right? Just by height.
Correct, but that's the chap. It only becomes a pasuk sukkah if it has the identity of a sukkah. And the shaila is, what's the minimum identity of a sukkah? Now remember, we know area-wise that it's Zion al-Zion, but that's obvious because it's already sitting on top of a proper sukkah, which means it's got to have at least that same area. The shaila is, what's the height dimension that allows it to be a separate sukkah, which you're correct, which then makes it into a pasuk sukkah. Remember, I want to be clear. In this case, not satisfying the dimensions would actually work in our favor. Not satisfying the dimensions would actually what? What would it do? It would make it right. It's nothing, essentially. Meaning, when we say it's nothing, it makes it part of the lower sukkah. So remember, we're trying to see, when you said sukkah gabi sukkah is puzzle, we're trying to see what is the minimum dimensions of it, of the upper sukkah, that would render it puzzle. So the Gemara goes weiter. One more. Shmuel says asara. Shmuel says ten tefachim. We'll say this is the most mistaber. Why? My time the Shmuel. Meaning, again, we'll say height of ten tefachim. Shmuel says, Kech Shera, Kach Psula, Mahach Shera Basara, Af Psula Basara. So what's that? Shmuel comes along and says, what are you guys hacking around for? You know, again, we have the dimensions for sukkah already. So why should this upper sukkah be any different than the lower sukkah? The minimum height dimensions for a sukkah are 10 tefachim. A sukkah must be roasted just in practical terms. What that means is minimum height dimensions for a sukkah is about 3 feet. Sukkah has to be at least 3 feet. So Shmuel says, just like a regular sukkah has to be 3 feet, in order for this upper sukkah to be considered its own separate domain, it must also be 10 tefachim. Tonight, the Gemara brings a Mishnah. Tonight, Rabbi Huda says, Im ain diurin be'al yona hatachton mekshira. Now, also, the Gemara is going to try to figure out who is rest. So we have three different shitos then, in terms of what are the minimum dimensions for the upper sukkah. Remember, it's a very specific case of sukkah gabi sukkah. What are the minimum dimensions of the upper sukkah that would render the bottom sukkah puzzle? Again, leaving aside all the variables that we discussed earlier, lamala me'esrim, pachos me'esrim, what the nature of the schach is, but what's the case of sukkah gabi sukkah that can render the bottom one puzzle? So remember, three shitos: Rav Huna, tefach; Rav Chista, Rabba Rav Huna, four tefachim; and Shmuel, ten tefachim. Now we have to try to figure out who's right. So Moshe says, Tanan. Rabbi Huda says, Im ein dirin be'al yona, hatach tona kisheva. So Rabbi Huda says, remember this is Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda said, if there's no one living in the upper sukkah, so the bottom sukkah is kosher. So the Gemara says, my ein diurin, what does that mean, no one's living in the upper sukkah? What does that mean for us? So the Gemara says, ilema diurin mamish, if you say that it literally means residence, atu diurin kagarmi, does the presence or lack thereof of residence in the upper sukkah in any way determine the nature of the psul or the kashrus of the sukkah? El alav, my indurin. Rather, what does it mean? No one lives in the upper sukkah. Kol she'ina ru'uya ledira. Rabbi Huda was saying, if the upper sukkah is not fit for dwelling, then it does not go ahead and render the bottom sukkah possible. So the Gemara says, v'hechi dami. And what's the case? What's the case where you would say that the upper sukkah is not fit for dwelling? De lo gavoa asara. It must be what? A case of where the sukkah, the upper sukkah, is not 10 tefachim tall. And Rabbi Huda is coming along and saying what? That if it's not fit for dwelling, if it's not 10 tefachim tall, then the upper sukkah does not invalidate the bottom sukkah. Oh, Rabbi Huda, now here's the problem. Remember, what did the Tanakhama say about sukkah gabi sukkah? The first piece of the Mishnah, what did the first piece of the Mishnah say? Puzzle. And it didn't qualify that statement. So the Gemara therefore says, Michlal, I mean, the end of the first wide line on Yud Amud Aleph, Michlal, the Tanakama Savar, Avapi She'ina Ru'u Yiladira Psula. The Rabbos say the Tanakama just gives a straight up psul, which seems to indicate the Tanakama would hold that even what? Even if the upper sukkah is less than 10 tefachim, then what? Then Lemaisa again, the sukkah would be unfit, the sukkah would be puzzle. So we'll say that obviously is a contradiction to Shmuel, because Shmuel said that again, the upper sukkah is only problematic if what? If it's Lemala Me'asara. Tanakama seems to indicate that it's puzzle even if it's Pachos Me'asara. Ki Asar Abdimi Amar, Amri Me'arava. It's very interesting, I will say. When Rabdimi came along, he said, what does it mean when we say that if the upper sukkah is not fit for dwelling, it does not invalidate the bottom one? What it means is, what it means to say, Rabosai, is that if the floor of the second sukkah, which is the sukkah of the bottom sukkah, is not strong enough to be able to hold karavikistos, means, you know, pillows and mattresses. In other words, what is it saying? If it's not strong enough to operate as a floor, right? If it doesn't have a floor, then lemaisa what? Essentially, what they used to say in Ma'arava in the West is Eretz Yisrael. Well, the way they understood this mission in Eretz Yisrael is, if the schach of the bottom sukkah is not strong enough to serve as a floor for the upper sukkah, then lemaisa, the upper sukkah is not what? It's not a sukkah. It's not a sukkah. You can't have a sukkah without a floor. And therefore, lemaisa, again, remember, once the upper sukkah is not kosher, then what? The bottom sukkah, but pashtos will be. Again, all of this is dependent on the variables that we spoke about earlier. But just in the abstract, it will be kosher. Michlal, the Tanakama Savra Avapi She'ein or Uyla Kabal Psula. Then I will say, remember, the inference from this is what? Is that lemaisa, the Tanakama would say that even if, remember, the Tanakama just across the board says that the bottom sukkah is puzzle, which seems to indicate that the Tanakama would hold that even if the schach of the upper sukkah, of the bottom sukkah, was not strong enough to serve as a floor for the upper sukkah, the bottom sukkah would still be puzzle. To which the Gemara says, my afapi shenir lekabel, I'm sorry, ikabinahu, dechola lekabel ayideat chak. This is very interesting. So what's the practical difference in Rabbi Huda and Tanakama? If lemaisa, the schach of the bottom sukkah could support the mattresses and the pillows, but what? Ayideat chak means what? Under duress. Meaning on both sides, that essentially you're kind of tiptoeing. Right? Every single time, you're saying tefillas haderech, for every single step you take on that stuff, because you do not know what's going to happen the moment. So again, look at Rashi for just a moment. This is the last Rashi before the Mishnah. Omishani ika b'nayu, d'rabaran savri, kevan d'yechola l'kabel b'dochak, shem sukkah ahal yonah. So both sides, d'rabaran hold, that even since technically, even though it's not the best setup, technically, the schach of the bottom sukkah, which is the floor of the upper sukkah, could sustain the weight of the mattresses. And since technically it could, although again, it's very what's the right word?
Unstable.
Tenuous. Good. It's very tenuous, right? I'm sorry.
Could put 2x4s.
You could put, correct. You could build it up, correct. But the Shaila is looking at what it is now. Looking at what it is now, it's very tenuous. So the Rabbanon will say, look, that's still called the sukkah. It's still called the floor. It has the ability technically to support the weight. And therefore, the ma'aseh, the upper sukkah has the identity of a sukkah. And once the upper sukkah has the identity of the sukkah, the bottom sukkah becomes possible. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm reading in Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kivun deleka tashmisha lahejya lav shem sukkah Allah de'al yona. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds what Rabbi say, that the ma'aseh, no, sukkah, remember, the way you live in your sukkah has to resemble the way you live in your home. And since lemaisa, again, a person would not construct a floor like that in their home, therefore lemaisa, again, such a floor like that does not work in your sukkah either. So what it comes down to, according to this last verse, something very interesting, that really the question is the floor suitable for normative, when I say floor of the second sukkah, which is the roof of the tops, which is the roof of the bottom sukkah, is it usable for normative dwelling? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not, that even if you could use it ayde adochak with in a tenuous situation, Rabbi Yehuda, that does not constitute a real floor, and therefore, again, we don't view the upper sukkah as being significant, and therefore, the bottom sukkah will be kosher. According to the Rabbanon, if you could use it at all under any circumstance, even ayde adochak, even in a tenuous situation, lemaisa, that's called the floor for the upper sukkah. Upper sukkah is kosher, and ultimately, again, bottom sukkah is possible. Okay.
Is it no longer kosher?
is it no longer a question on, well, it's just now saying that Lamaisa, instead of just, there's more than just the height requirement. That's the Gemara saying over now. You thought that the whole issue was just the height requirement. Height requirement is only part of the discussion. There's another piece of discussion in terms of now the durability of the floor. So it started out as a kasha of Shmuel, turned out now to be not a kasha on Shmuel, but simply a different issue in totality.
I think since the Mishnah says sukkah on top of sukkah, they assume that the proper one is the actual.
Is a real sukkah. Right. True. All right, Tavos HaMishnah. Well, say this is a great sugya now, a very good sugya. They're all good sugyas. So the Gemara says the following. The Mishnah says, Pires alea sadin mit me'achama. If you go ahead, we'll at the end of this sugya, we'll do a little bit of halacha today, time permitting, but we'll also go back to some of the sugya regarding ha'oses u'kaso tacha sa'ila. Because that is probably one of the most halacha lemaisa sugyas about building your sukkah underneath a tree. And because again, that's the Mishnah we did yesterday. So I'll show you the Shulchan Aruch, God willing, tomorrow. So if we have time, we'll do a little bit of it today. So the Mishnah says the following. Piris alea sadin mit me'achama. Mishnah. Yud Amud Aleph. If a person goes ahead, it's a very interesting case. You put a sheet over your sukkah because of the sun. So what you're essentially doing over here is you're like an umbrella. You're putting, literally, it's hot. And you're putting a sheet, this is on top of the schach, in order to block out the sun. Okay. O tachteha mipnei hanesher. Or you spread out a sheet underneath your schach in order to what? To catch the leaves, depending on what kind of, let's say, if you ever cut down willow branches to use for a schach, so you'll notice again about, 2 hours after you do it, it's dry. It's already falling down. So again, so you go ahead, it looks very pretty, when you're cutting it down and you're holding it back, and then when you put it up. Okay, in any event, you have
quite a while.
Yeah, exactly. So you're spreading a sheet out underneath the schach. To go ahead, I was going to say to collect the droppings, but that doesn't sound right. To collect the leaves that are falling off. Okay. Or, for that matter, shepires al gabe hakinof. Or, you're placing a sheet on top of bedposts. Now, Bosai, take a look at Rashi over here for just a moment. Rashi says, al gabe kinof, hein dalid kundisin le dalid ragle hamita, the govin, umaniach klinusos mize leze al gabein. Let me show you something. So you have over here, this is a serious sukkah dweller. He's not bringing in a cot, he's bringing in again his canopy bed. Okay, so now again, he's got his bed. Okay. Yes, he has a canopy now on top of that bed. This is what's called Rabosai. This is what's called a kinof. O Shapiris Agabi kinof, four posts, canopy on top, psula. In all of these cases, what you have done invalidates your, it doesn't invalidate the sukkah. I take that back. What it does is it doesn't allow you to fulfill your mitzvah in the current state of dwelling. Look at Rashi. Psula, Mishum de Eno Yoshe Basuka, de Ohel Mafsik Beinehem. So you're both saying all of these cases, remember, and now you have three different cases. The schach, the sheet on top of the schach to block out the sun. The sheet below the schach to go ahead and catch any stuff that's falling from the schach. And the canopy on top of the bed. In all of these cases, when you're sitting underneath these sheets or these canopies, you are no longer sitting within the shade of the sukkah, but rather you're sitting in the shade of the sheet. And therefore, the ma'aseh, that invalidates the sukkah. Again, I'm careful with saying that it invalidates the sukkah, because the truth is technically the sukkah itself is not invalidated. The sukkah itself is a good sukkah. There's like there's something obstructing you. It's like a chatzitza. It's like a chatzitza almost. There's something that's obstructing you, because only reason I say that is because when we go ahead and we use lashon of psul, so psul usually means there's something wrong with the chatzitza, with the object of the sukkah. Here, yes, you could tie it up. There's a sheet on top of it. There's something wrong with the object, but not really, because as you remove the sheet, the object itself is perfectly fine. In any event, you can't fulfill your mitzvah of sukkah with it. Aval, porisu agabe naklite hamita. But what can you do? You can spread a sheet literally on bedposts. And I will say, now what's this case? This is a case of where, instead of four posts on the bed, if you can imagine, there are two posts on the bed. Just so you know, I'm putting that next to me. I have two posts on the bed. So what happens, again, and these posts would be situated by the head and the foot of the bed, in the middle. So essentially, you create like a tent. Now, what's the chab of that? Why is that better than the case of the four posts? So listen to this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, it's only two posts. One post is by the head, one post is by the feet. So listen to this. The halachic definition of a tent, or I should say differently, of a tent or of a roof is there must be at least one tefach, a flat space. So if you build a tent like this with no flat roof, that halachically is not called a roof. It's not called a roof, which we actually saw before. That's why, for example, if you built a structure like this, you would not be chayv in mezuzah. Not be chayv in mezuzah. That's actually for a different reason, because it's not Tzuras HaPesach. But the point is over here that what constitutes an ohel that would prevent you from sitting underneath the schach, only something that satisfies the halachic criteria of being its own roof. But if it doesn't satisfy the criteria of being a roof, then lemaisa does not interrupt sanachatzitza between you and the schach. So if you're sleeping in the bed with the four posts and there's mamish a roof that has at least a tefach of flat space, you're not under the schach, you're underneath that roof. However, again, if you're sleeping in the bed with the two posts and you're just kind of sleeping in a tent, there's no roof of a tefach. That does not invalidate your sukkah experience.
You put a tent inside a sukkah and sleep in the tent.
Technically. Right, don't get any ideas. Right. So the Gemara says the following. But yes, the answer is, according to what the Mishnah is saying, it would be absolutely fine. But I want to be clear. This sugya continues tomorrow. And so let's not pervert a little bit of knowledge over here.
If it's raining, you want to sleep in the sukkah.
Well, so you see, that's exactly, so that's where it comes gets interesting, because remember, once we'll get to these sugyas, once it's raining, there's no mitzvah of sukkah. There's no mitzvah of sukkah. So we'll see.
Do any of us live in houses?
I'm sorry?
All of us live in tents?
All of us live in... No, because... Oh, so I'll tell you why not. Because generally also, without getting technical, a certain slope that's a gradual slope within a certain amount is considered flat. So the truth is, unless you live in a house with very, very steep rooftops, everybody has some level of flat, halachically flat
the
roof.
The ceiling is flat, though.
I'm sorry?
The ceiling is
flat, right? Right. But even the outside, remember, we actually saw some of these sugyas in Erevin and even in Pesachim, that if the slope is a little bit more gradual, it's considered halachically flat. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Chisda, lo shar ela b'nei ha'nesher. So remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, when, if you spread out the sheet, when is the sheet problematic? Only if you're spreading it out to catch that which is dropping from the schach. Aval, we'll say this is very interesting. Aval in the osa ksheira. But what's the inference? If I were to spread out a decorative sheet, I have a sheet. I made a nice sheet in school, right? I have a nice decorative sheet that I made, and I want to hang that up underneath the schach. So what should be the halacha? It would appear from the Mishnah that it should be okay, because the Mishnah only said the problem with the sheet is that I'm using it to catch that which falls down from the schach, which allows it to operate almost in a roof-like, remember, because the whole chap of a roof is to protect you from the elements. This is being placed here to protect me from that which falls from the schach. It's operating in a roof capacity, but if I'm just putting it there for decorative purposes, it should be okay. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, Mepnei Nesher Tanan. Yes, that is correct, because after all, the Mishnah said that the only time the sheet is problematic is when is lemaisef is there to catch the droppings from the schach. So the Gemara says, Malatim, what I have thought, who I didn't I feel in also. Well, I might have thought that no, you can't even put up a sheet, even if it's for decorative purposes. And the only reason the Mishnah says to catch the droppings from the schach is why? Because that's the regular, that's the normative reasons why people would hang up a sheet. But in Achinami, the hanging of any sheet would be problematic. Kamashmalon, no. Kamash also says it's a very important idea. We'll see if this is halacha l'maaser or not. But again, what the Gemara seems to be saying is the only time you can't hang up a sheet underneath your schach or on top of your schach, for that matter, is when the sheet itself is operating in somewhat of a roof capacity, there to block out the sun, there to go ahead and catch that which falls from the schach. But if the sheet is there for purely decorative purposes, even though it's hanging right underneath your schach, it's okay. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, let's bring a halacha that seems to support this idea. If a person appropriately schacht their sukkah, I just made that into a verb, right? You schacht your sukkah, you appropriately put up your schach, the ishra bikramin, when you went ahead and you decorated it with cloths, ubisadinim siyurin, so with colored linens and colored cloths, the talab, so we'll say here again, so you see you're decorating your sukkah with linens and cloths, with sheets. The talaba goes in and you hang from it nuts and shkedim and almonds, afarsikin and peaches and rimonim. Pomegranates, we'll say, remember, not plastic, right? This is the real thing. This is how they used to decorate their sukkahs with real fruit. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Parchilena is actually very beautiful. Clusters of grapes. Ataro shoshu, remember, we'll say, sukkahs is the harvest season. So this is why they would go ahead and they would decorate their sukkahs with all this. Look, imagine this. Real fruit. Real fruit, clusters of grapes, ataro shel shibolin, literally wreaths of grain, yenos, you hang wine. I think there's a niche market in this over here. They would spend literally bottles of wine, flasks of wine, shmanim, oil, salasos, fine flour. In all of these cases, so mostly these are all decorations in your sukkah. Aser lehistapik man. Now the halacha is, you are not permitted to benefit from these on Sukkot. Now we'll say, what does this mean? So I can't pour myself a glass of wine from the wine that's hanging. I can't, you know, chop off a grape from the wine that's hanging. You can't do that. Why? Ad matzei yom tov acharon. Until after Sukkot. Until after Sukkot. Why, Bosai? Because the idea over here is what? The idea is that Lemaisa, once you've gone ahead and designated as decorations for the sukkah, it becomes what we call huktzasa l'mitzvah, set aside for a mitzvah. And once you go ahead and you set aside an object for a mitzvah, you may not use it for personal use afterwards. However, v'imhisna aleihem, but if you made a t'nai, now what does that mean? If you made a t'nai, hakol lefi t'no, everything follows your t'nai. Look at Rashi, hakol lefi t'no, ukigon d'amar, any boldol mehen kabein hashmoshal shiom tavarishon the lo chal kedusha alei. So we'll see this later on. But for example, if a person were to be eating of those grapes bein hashmoshal at the twilight period at the onset of Yom Tov, then that's a clear demonstration that what that they have in mind to get benefit even from the decorations, and the decorations would not be off limits. So meaning, when the Gemara says that you can't get benefit from the decorations, that's in an unqualified state. So if I didn't make any time, make any condition, I just hang everything up. The assumption is whatever you hang up is set aside for the mitzvah of sukkah, is off limits for my personal use. But if I made an explicit tonight and indicated that I plan on drinking the wine, I plan on eating the grapes, I plan on, you know, partaking of the fine flour, l'maisa, I have that right. Now we'll say, why do we bring this down? We only brought this whole brisa down for one reason, to show that decorative sheets do not disqualify the sukkah. Remember what the Gemara said before. The Gemara was explaining that based on what the Mishnah said, seems to be the only sheet that really disqualifies the sukkah is what kind of sheet? Right? A sheet that ultimately operates in some roof-like capacity. Either it's blocking out sun, either it's catching schach trappings, but for decoration purposes, lemaisa, it's absolutely fine. And the Gemara now just quoted this brisa, which talks about people who are decorating their sukkah with decorative sheets, which seems to support that assertion. Gemara says, one second, that's not a good raya. Why? Dilma minatzad. Sirbo say, how do you know the brisa over here is talking about suspending sheets from the top of the sukkah, from the schach? Maybe he's talking about what? On the walls. Wall coverings. Hang, and what the Bryce is essentially saying is what? That Lemaisa, you can go ahead and hang decorative sheets on the walls of your sukkah. But just realize if you do that, and then suddenly what, you're getting cold one night sleeping in the sukkah, you can't take that down and cover yourself with it. So there's no raya, there's no proof that it's talking about the type of sheet hanging from the schach. And therefore, again, it's not really a proof to our previous assertion. Itmar. You might quote the following statement. Noi sukkah, ein mematin b'sukkah. I will say, sukkah decorations do not detract from the minimum dimensions of the sukkah. Look at Rashi. Ein mematin, kramin haprusin l'mala l'noi, ein mematin begov hame'esrim l'hachshira. Delav min sichacha ninu. I will say, listen to this. If you have a sukkah that's l'mala me'esrim ama, and then what happens? You hang up a sheet, and the sheet now decreases the airspace. So the sukkah is now 19 amos. It's a big sheet, right? So the halacha is that the sheet cannot go ahead. The sheet does not in any way impact the dimensions of the sukkah. So what Rashi says over here is because very simply, the sheet is not schach. Because it's not schach, it doesn't impact ultimately the dimensions of the sukkah. Because if you want to say that it is schach, you have a bigger problem, which is what? It's pasul. Pasul schach. Why Rashi says, Lashir delam min schicha ninu, di schach hava, hava mifsila mishum mekabel tumah, below the post, let me show some yud. So we'll say ultimately again. So the sheet itself, you can't. The sheet itself is not schach, and if you count the sheet as schach, it could potentially invalidate the schach that you already have. Therefore, the schach itself does not. Excuse me. The sheet itself does not impact the dimensions of sukkah. So this would be true if decreasing the airspace of a sukkah l'malami esrim, and this would be true if you had a sukkah that was exactly yud. Let's say a sukkah that was exactly 10 tefachim, and you hung a sheet right from the top, and therefore again now you've diminished the airspace to 9 tefachim, that sheet does not impact, it's not just sheet, the decorations do not impact the dimensions of the sukkah.
What's that happening? Why would one?
Because it's taking away airspace. It is actively removing some of the dimensions of the sukkah.
And even though it's possible, but the Hadamina is, maybe that works too.
Correct. At the end of the day, it's not a din in schach, it's taking up space. So the Gemara says, and again, the Havamina also has to do with the fact that Noye Sukkah, what do you see from the previous case? Noye Sukkah take on almost a Sukkah-like status themselves. That's the Olchap as well. The same way that if I put up the grapes, I can't eat the grapes for the entirety of Sukkah. The same way that I can't deconstruct my Sukkah and use it to build a deck. So the Havamina is that the decorations are like the Sukkah itself. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Ashi, Umilat Sad Memate. We also say it's very interesting. But you know what decorations do in fact do? They do diminish the dimensions from the side. Look at Rashi. I mean, at Sad Mematin, Lo Mishir Zayin Tfachim, Dehaina Machzekes Roshu Ruvu Shacharas. Listen to this, Rav Osai. If you have a sukkah that measures exactly Zayin al Zayin, 7 Tfachim by 7 Tfachim, and you put up a very thick sheet on the side wall to serve as a tapestry, and you now the sukkah is less than Zayin al Zayin, the Gemara suggests that will invalidate your sukkah. Now, Iba, what does that mean? You just tell me before it doesn't invalidate the airspace. So here's the difference. You see, the minimum shear of a sukkah of Zayin al Zayin is a practical shear. A practical shear that allows what? You have to be able to get your head, most of your body, and your table in that sukkah. Which means what? If you have a very thick wall hanging, and that takes away from some of the space, what's going to happen? You will not be able to do that. If you can't do that, then l'maisa, again, the sukkah is possible. So the Gemara goes weiter. Umin atzad mematin. Fine. Minyamin Abdei Dravashi. This is another interesting case. Minyamin, who was the servant of Ravashi, it misha la kisuna b'maya. His clothing got wet with water. The ishticha amat lelasa. And he hung his clothing up on the sukkah to dry. Rashi says, "It mishe nishura b'mayim." So he hung his clothing on the sukkah to dry. Amr Ravashi, Dali, Ravashi, tell him quickly, take it off. Delo leimru kamisachachei b'davar hamakabel tuma. That was what Ravashi was concerned about was what, that people are going to see this and they're going to assume that this item is schach. And people are going to say, remember, I've also said, this is one of the beautiful dynamic ideas that we've seen many a time, which is that in the days of old, how did people learn what to do? Right? By observing the Rebbeim. They observed the Rebbe, they observed the teacher, and that ultimately taught me what I need to do. So here you have Rav Ashi all nervous that people are going to see clothing on top of the sukkah, and people will assume that what? That you could use clothing. Remember, we'll discuss why you can't use clothing. You can't use clothing as schach.
Where do you hang it?
Must have been on top of the sukkah. So the Gemara says, "V'ha ka chazule diritiva." Aye, but Minyamin said back to Rav Ashi, but people see that it's wet. And I will say again, when people see that it's wet, they'll realize that why did I put it on top of the sukkah? Only to dry out and not for schach purposes. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Rav Ashi was saying to him, "L'chi yavshi kamin alecha." Rav Ashi said, you're right. What I meant is, as soon as it's dry, please remove it from on top of the sukkah. Itmar. Another braisa. Noye sukkah hamuflogin mimenu arba. We'll say another very interesting case. If you have sukkah decorations that are removed from the schach for tefachim. So now we'll say, see, under normal circumstances, what you would say is, look at Rashi, noye sukkah sedinin haprusin tachas schach lenoy. So let's just use the sheets because it's the easiest thing for illustration purposes. There was more coffee in here before. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. If you have sukkah decorations that are within hamuflogim imenam arba, that are four tefachim away from the schach. So meaning it's not flush against the schach, it's four tefachim away from the schach. Rav Nachman amar kshera. Rav Nachman says it's kasher. And Rav Chista Rav Huna amri psula. And Rav Huna Rav Chista say that it's possible. So we'll say what's happening over here. So look at Rashi. Rashi says over here psula. Mishum ohel mafsik. So we'll say, listen to this. So apparently Rav Nachman seems to, well, let's actually start with Rav Chista. Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna say that if the decorations, if the decorative sheet is not within four tefachim of the schach, it's pasul, meaning it invalidates the schach. Why does it invalidate the schach? Rashi says, Mishum ohel mafsik. Because if it's more than four tefachim from the schach, it becomes its own ohel, it becomes its own tent, its own structure, and ultimately invalidates the already existing schach. The ashtachach delo gani besukkah, and therefore it'll turn out that you're not underneath the schach, you're underneath the sheet. Or Rav Nachman, kevan delinoi sukkah yahivnu betel legabar. We'll say, on the other hand, Rav Nachman, who holds it as kasher, holds that what? Since it's there for decorative purposes, it's bottled to the schach, even if it's more than four tefachim removed. Okay.
Is it related to what you said before about the
oil? Correct.
The
About why four tefachim? Yes. Bepashtus, yes. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista Rabba Rav Huna iklo lebei Reish Galusa. So let's listen to this. Rav Chista Rabba Rav Huna went to the house of the Reish Galusa. It's a very interesting case. Remember, this is Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna who said that a sheet that is hanging underneath the schach, that's more than four tefachim away from the schach, is possible. So Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna go to visit the Reish Galusa. Remember, the Reish Galusa is the head of Babylonian Jewry. They're going to visit him on Sukkos. Why? Why? Because it will say on Regalim there is a mitzvah to go see your Rebbe. On Sukkot there's a mitzvah to go see your Rebbe. So they go to the Reish Galusa's house. Agninu, so they were set up for accommodations. Agninu Rav Nachman besukkah shenoyeh muflag yemenu arba atfachim. So listen to this. So Rav Nachman, now who is Rav Nachman? Rashi points out Rav Nachman is Av Beis Din Haya. V'nogid u'mitzav beis Reish Galusa va'os apiv. Rav Nachman was the head of the court in Bavel, so he was kind of the right hand man of the Reish Galusa. So what happens? Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna come to visit the Reish Galusa. Rav Nachman makes arrangements for them, and he arranges lodging in a sukkah that had a decorative sheet that was hanging more than four tefachim from the schach. Now, I will say, remember, this is a case where Rav Nachman held that what? That it's kosher. Why? Because since it's for decoration, it's bottled to the schach. Rav Chista and Rav Huna hold that what? That it's possible. So he puts them in a sukkah that he holds as kosher, but they hold as possible. And what happens? Ishtiku velo amru lemidi. Rav Chista and Rav Huna didn't say a word. They didn't say a word. So Rav Nachman was intrigued by this. He said, amru lehu hagdibu rabbana mishmatayu. So Rav Nachman said to him, have the rabbis retracted their position? So then he was trying to see, like he was trying to start up a little bit. You know, have you retracted your position? Listen to this. So the Amrulei, so Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna said to him, no. Anon shluchei mitzvah anon upetur min ha-sukkah. So they said to him, no. We still hold the sukkah as possible. Just what? Yeah, we happen to be exempt from sukkah right now. Why? Because again, the halacha is shluchei mitzvah. Those who are on a mitzvah mission are pater from the sukkah, are exempt from sukkah, which is part of the general concept of osig b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. When you are engaged in the performance of one mitzvah, you are by definition exempted from other mitzvahs. So they understood that coming to visit the Reish Galus, coming to visit the head of Babylonian Jewry, was in fact a mitzvah. Because they were engaged in that mitzvah, they were exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. So essentially, since Rav Nachman, put us wherever you want. So again, we still dispute the sukkah is not a kosher sukkah, but it's not worth the fight right now. Absolutely, absolutely. Again, what we would say in a situation like that is that Lamaisa try to eat foods that don't require a sukkah to begin with, but technically speaking, the answer is yes. Technically, I'm sorry.
Kosher still fine.
Kosher supplies, yes. You can't stop at Burger King on the way. Good, I'm happy we're having this discussion this week. All right, so it says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Mutar lishan bekila besukkah. B'asai Rav Yehuda's name is Shmuel. It is permitted to sleep in a kila in the sukkah. Now, b'asai, what's the kila? Look at Rashi. Kila. Haprusa svio samita. So this is a canopy bed. Kila is like a canopy bed that is spread out around the bed. She'im gaga mishupa kishal naklitin. Ella shava kishal kinufos. So what's the Chazal going to say in the Shema? Sleep underneath a canopy bed. Canopy bed. We said before that you can't sleep in a canopy bed. So the Gemara says, Avapi she'yesh lagag. Even though it has a roof, so why can't you sleep in it? V'hu she'ina gavoa asara. This is providing that the canopy is not 10 tefachim high. Now look at Rashi, it's a very important Rashi. Rashi, v'hu she'ina gavoa asara, mina mita. It's interesting that according to Rashi, this height is measured from what? Not from the ground, but from the surface of the bed. So apparently, again, what Rabbi Huda says in the name of Shmuel is that in order for something to constitute an ohel, an actual structure that would prevent you from dwelling in the sukkah, it's not just enough to have a roof. What else do you need? You need height. You need height. Therefore, if the canopy bed, if the canopy is less than 10 tefachim from the bait, from the bed, from the surface of the bed, that does not constitute an ohel, and therefore you could sleep underneath this canopy. So the Gemara says, the reason I say, look, now this is interesting, we'll see if halacha l'maisa, we're counting it from the bed or the floor. In any event, the Gemara says the following, Tashma, but we learned, Hayashim b'kila b'sukkah lo yatzei chavaso. But yet we learned elsewhere, that if one sleeps underneath a canopy, he has not fulfilled his obligation, i.e., he's not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. So what's the case? So I will say it's a contradiction, because we just said before that you are yotzei if you sleep underneath a canopy. Here we're saying you're not yotzei if you sleep underneath a canopy. Hakam askinon, what's the case? Kishagavoa asara. Oh, the case of that price that said that you're not yotzei if you sleep underneath a canopy must be talking about what? A canopy that is 10 tefachim or more higher. Therefore, in that case, it's an ohel. They say, Imari is the kasha. Hayoshen tachas amita besukah lo yotzei dechavaso. But yet we learned this. We'll see this in the Mishnah, that if you sleep underneath a bed, I have a bed in my sukkah, I sleep underneath that bed, I am not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. Why? Because the assumption is the bed itself constitutes an ohel, constitutes a rooftop. So what do you see from there? The assumption is that the bed is not going to what? It's not going to be 10 tefachim, right, off the ground. It's not going to be 3 feet off the ground. So the Gemara says, Hatar gemar Shmuel, b'mita gavo asara. No, in Achinam, Shmuel explains that the case is talking about what? Where literally the bed is 10 tefachim off the ground. So if I sleep underneath that, I'm sleeping underneath both something that has a flat roof span of at least a tefach, and it's 10 tefachim high. That's an ohel. Tashma. Oshe pires agabi kinofos. Remember, the Brisa spoke about this case of where you're placing a roof on top of four posts, psula. So we'll say, again, in all of these cases where it says possible that you sleep underneath the canopy, it seems to be that it's possible no matter what the height is, to which the Gemara says, hasam nami de gavihi asara. That is also talking about a case where the canopy is 10 tefachim high. Let's finish. V'halo katani hafi. But it doesn't say that. V'sanyam naklitin shnayim v'kinofos arba. Because we learned in the Braisa that Naklitin Rabosa is the case of where there are two posts, and the Kinofos is the case where there are four posts. Pires al gabi Kinofos psula. If you spread a canopy over four posts, so it's pasul. Pasul means that if you're underneath that canopy, you're now fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. Agami Naklitin, but if you did it on the two posts, it's kasher. O bilvad shelo yihyu Naklitin gavon min amita asara. As long as what? As long as it's not more than 10 tefachim high. Michlal dikinofos afa pi she'im gavoa asara. So the Gemara says, but what's the inference from that? We'll say, now the only time that the Brisa mentions the height requirement is in what case? In the case of the two posts, right? In the case of the what's the word? Naklitim, thank you. In the case of the two posts, which seems to indicate what? Then in the case of the four posts, it does, even if it's lower than 10 tefachim, the fact that it has a flat roof of a tefach, by definition, will invalidate your sukkah. So we see you don't need a 10 tefach, a 10 tefach height. So which thing where it says, no. Shiny kinofos dikavi. The difference is the four posts, Sper Rabosai, is different. Why? Because it's permanent. Rashi says, dikavi. Aval kilo lo kavia bechazaka ki kinofos. What the Gemara now seems to be suggesting is that there are three different cases. Case number one is the Naklitin. Naklitin are the two posts, that form the tent that does not have a tefach flat roof. The only case where that is problematic is when? If it's lemala me'asara. Right? If it's more than 10 tefachim high, then lemaisa again it's problematic. Case number two is the case of the kila. The kila is the canopy that also has a 10 tefach roof. And apparently, again, that's also only a case of where what? It's only problematic if what? If it's more than 10 tefachim high. The third case is the kinofos. The kinofos is the four-post bed that is a permanent bed. That is a permanent, those posts are permanent fixtures. That is problematic even if what? Even if it's less than 10 tefachim high, because its permanence by definition creates it into an ohel. I, the Gemara says, v'hare asuka gabi suka dekavia. I, what about the case of suka gabi suka? That was a case of permanence. V'armi Shmuel, kech shera kach psula. Boss, we're back to our previous sugi. And what did Shmuel say? The upper sukkah is only problematic if what? If what? If it has 10 tefachim of height, right? It's only, so upper sukkah is only a sukkah if it has 10 tefachim of height. But according to what we just said, that if something is considered to be permanent, as permanence, then what? Then it should be problematic even if it's less than 10 tefachim of height. Omri, the Gemara says, no. Hasam de la mifsal sukkah ba'asarab. It's apples and oranges. There, when we come to say what makes meaning, we're trying to figure out the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. That requires 10 tefachim, because Shmuel says that's less than 10 tefachim. It's not a sukkah. Hacha de l'shavuye ohel, but here when it comes to, we're not talking about sukkah, here we're talking about the minimum definition of an ohel. When it comes to an ohel, betzir me'asara nami havi ohala. When it comes to an ohel, Rabosai, even something less than 10 tefachim could ultimately be considered an ohel. So the Gemara essentially answers in, it's apples and oranges. When it comes to a sukkah, the reason Shmuel said 10 tefachim is because that's the minimum shear for a sukkah. It's not a sukkah less than 10 tefachim of height. Here, apparently when it comes to ohel, ohalim or ohalos come in different forms and different sizes, depending on the nature of the item being discussed. And therefore, lemaisa, in this case, when something is such a permanent structure, even less than 10 tefachim will in fact create an ohel. All right, we'll stop over here. I'm sorry? So if it therefore
needs to be at least 4 ounces wide.
Well, the difference, so the answer would be technically no. All it needs is a minimum, doesn't need four amos. What it just needs is a minimum area, perhaps four tefachim by four tefachim. But we'll see if that's true. We'll see if that's true. That's going to be tomorrow. You need something more permanent than more stable than sheets on walls. But if you were to put up something more significant, remember again, the minimum area for a sukkah is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So pretty much you need it to be an area of about 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. So as long as your bed was that, it's a big bed, but as long as you had a bed like that, technically the answer is yes.
What if you didn't have it like a square or like anything? What if you just had it like a T? Like your sukkah was like a T.
Yeah, I mean, I drove
last night.
I drive.
You don't have 4 amos of space, though. It doesn't have to be
the
same shape.
You have to have it in one area that's capable of having you and your table in it. So if it's too dispersed, it would not work.
And I'll never.
Sorry?
Ravushi.
I don't know which Ravushi.
For any.
Ben Sion, do you have an extra Ravushi to you?
I left it on my desk. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna get you.
That's fine, I'll come tomorrow.
You come tomorrow, good.
Weird session. We're supposed to be driving to Toronto after Dobbin. We'll see how that comes look like. And so I'll be able to email around the review sheet. I'm up to speed. I've got everything in the
perfect.
I'm trying to print it out. I'll send that line to somebody else to print it off.
I can print it off. It's not a problem. Absolutely.
Okay, so I'll email it to me for you today.
Perfect.
I'll let you know if you need some changes.
Perfect.